Please take your Bibles this evening, turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 5 through 9. Isaiah 1, 5 through 9. Actually, let's begin in verse number 4. We'll read verses 4 through 9. It says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should he be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." Here we find that the Lord paints a terrible picture of what was going on with his people. And the picture we have here is not a would not be a delightful picture to look at. It would be one that we would view with disgust, with disdain. But yet it is really a picture that shows us what sin is like when it takes its course in a nation. It shows us what sin is like when sin is allowed to run its course. In verse number 5, it says, "Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint." Have you ever dealt with somebody before and you felt like no matter what you would do, the person would continue to rebel against what you were trying to do to correct them? And it's almost as if you're pulling your hair out trying to figure out, what am I going to do to see this person respond? You know, what am I going to do to see this person do what is right? It says here in verse 5, "Why should ye be stricken any more?" It says, "You will revolt more and more." And as you see the picture, even as you see, "Why should you be stricken any more?" It's almost like everywhere in the body has been stricken. And I guess we see that picture brought out. It says, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. It talks about from the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it. And as you look at this person here, there's wounds all over their body. Why should they be stricken? Why should they be hit anymore? The more they are punished, the more they are revolting. And I like how Barnes put it in his commentary. He said, "Where the heart is right with God, the tendency of affliction is to humble it and lead it more and more to God. Where it is evil, where the heart is evil, the tendency is to make the sinner more obstinate and rebellious. This effect of punishment is seen everywhere. Sinners revolt more and more. They become sullen and malignant and fretful. They plunge they excuse me, I can't read the word I wrote now. They plunge into vice to seek temporary relief, and thus they become more and more alienated from God. We find here the children of Israel, they're stricken, and yet they revolt more and more. Why is that? It's because their heart is sinful. And you know, you think of how do you respond to punishment? You know, young person, how do you respond? Does your heart become harder? Or when you are corrected, is there a responsiveness to that correction? The children of Israel, God was punishing them. But yet, what would they do? They would revolt. They would continue to rebel. And as if God had chastened them all over. And you see the desolation that was brought into their country in verses 7 and 8. God had brought all this desolation to the land. As if he had taken a person and smitten them all over. But yet they still would not humble themselves and submit to God. And notice what it says in verse number 4. It says, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Notice, a seed of evildoers. You know, people that cannot respond to correction. People that will not listen. People that rebel. The Bible paints that as a picture of somebody who has the wrong kind of heart. And you know, if you cannot respond to correction, if you have a hard time, you need to examine your heart. The Bible says that it was a seed of evildoers. You know, you are not the only one, parent, that can ever get, should we say, frustrated with punishing. We find that here the Lord was provoked with the children of Israel. Here they should have responded to what he was doing in obedience, in humbling themselves. But instead, what did they do? They revolted more and more. You know, some may think, well, you know, if I wasn't always corrected for what I was doing. You know, we have this idea in society, well, you know, if people maybe were given positive things, then maybe they would respond correctly. Well, take your Bibles and turn over to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 10. You know, when somebody has a heart of wickedness, when their heart is wrong, it doesn't really matter what you do. It says in verse number 10, it says, let favor be showed to the wicked. It says, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Notice that. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. There's a heart problem. And you know what? It's only changed by who? By the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's what? There's power in the blood. You know, human psychology is not going to change someone's heart. You can do anything you want. You can think of every punishment under the world. You can think of every positive reinforcement, and yet it will not change the heart of an individual. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse anyone from their sin. And you know, that's, parents, that's what we need to see in our children. Yes, obviously God has set forth the system, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from them. But you know, we need to reach the what? The heart of our children. And we need to make sure, obviously, that we are doing it God's way. But each one of us needs to look in our heart and say, how are we responding? Here God is doing all these things to Israel. But yet they what? They're rebelling more and more. You know, it says, you know, look at what sin does. It says a people laden with iniquity. What does sin do? It weighs us down. It puts this heavy burden upon us. We can't function in life like we should because we're laden down with sin. You know, when we're laden with sin, really we see here the rebellious root of sin. Sin is deeply ingrained within us. And there's only one person that can deliver us from that sin. You know, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So it talks about that in verse number 18. It's obviously who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one in which cleansing can be found. We find the rebellious root of sin. It weighs us down. It says children that are corruptors, they're willing to break down barriers. You know, we see this in our nation, all sorts of barriers being brought down. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. They have turned away from God. They have gone their own direction. We need to understand that rebellious root of sin. You know, sin doesn't just release itself easily. It's rooted. And it's only through the power of God that it can be taken out of our lives. You know, Hebrews talks about that root of bitterness. You know, there's a weed in the garden. I think one of the weeds that I maybe despise the most is quackgrass. And those of you that have dealt with quackgrass before know what a pain it can be. I mean, you pull that out, you can even maybe get a section of the root out, but there'll be some runner underneath there. And what'll do? It'll pop up, you know, and those runners just spread everywhere. They just get this big net. And once that gets established in there, it's hard to get rid of. I mean, it's just those roots are just entangled in that ground. You know, they're going to choke many things out. You could have that ground tilled up very nicely. It can look pretty good. You know, but underneath, well, you maybe see the roots on the surface. You could pick out all the roots on the surface, but underneath those roots are still there. And they just pop right back up. You know, that's really how sin is. That rebellious root of sin. You know, it just keeps popping up. And we need to understand how powerful it is. We see the ruinous results. It says, your country is desolate, verse 7. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. You know, here's strangers, they're coming in, they're devouring it right with them looking on. What can they do about it? And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. When foreigners come through and they conquer a land, and they leave it desolate. That is the picture here that the Bible is the results of sin. It ruins. It says in verse number 8, we find here the loneliness, the desolate, there's not much left here. Verse number 8, it says, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard. Right? So you have this vineyard and you have a cottage. It's like a booth, a temporary dwelling place. Just this small place. Nothing, it's just a temporary structure. It's not going to last very long. And it says, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. Now, we think of a lodge and we think of maybe some big cabin. You know, you're going on vacation to a lodge. You know, or there's, you know, you can go to a lodge and there's this big place that maybe people go to on a vacation. Well, this is not, a lodge here is not what it's talking about, is not some great structure. It's a very temporary thing, maybe a something that a, both of these are temporary type, you know, smaller type structures. All right, this lodge might have been something that a worker might have stayed in to guard the vegetables, to guard the cucumbers. All right, it's not a big structure, it's a small structure. And here Jerusalem, the daughter of Zion, picturing really another word here for Jerusalem, has become this small, desolate place because of sin. You know, that's what sin will do to your family. It will ruin it. It will bring it to desolation. It will, you won't have something that lasts. It will have, be something that's ruined. But then verse number 9, it says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Well, what took place? Sodom and Gomorrah, they became completely desolate. Nothing left. All the people, gone. There was Lot and his two daughters saved out of it. And we find here, what is, you know, many times you can be in this country, the United States of America, and you can be like, how should I respond to what's going on? Well, one thing we can see is that the mercy of God is in the remnant. The mercy of God, except the Lord of hosts, had left unto us a very small remnant. God's mercy is found in the remnant. God's mercy is found in the small numbers that will choose to follow Him. You know, when we are living in a godless society, the right response is not to try to go along with the godlessness so we can please them. You know, the right response is not to try to, so to speak, you know, maybe infiltrate it and we'll be able to change it. You know, the right response is not to start to lower our standards. The right response is to recognize the value of that small remnant. You know, in Sodom and Gomorrah, God said that it would be saved if there was what? There was 10 people. But there weren't 10 people, 10 righteous people living. You wonder, who are you trying to be in this wicked day and age in which we live? Are you trying to be one of those righteous people? Are you caving in to the immorality and the sin around us and lowering your standards? You know, we have all these churches around us. Let's lower this to make people feel comfortable. Well, that's not what God expects us to do in response to the wickedness that is around us. God wants us to realize that His mercy is found in that small remnant of people. And God was merciful to the land of Israel. And His mercy was found in that small group of people. You think of the prophet and how there was, you know, Elijah was all discouraged. But yet God said, there's 7,000 people that I have left that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You know, what group of people are you going to be a part of tonight? You know, we heard that message on Monday night, and Mark Cahill mentioned, you know, he said, you know, I just read something recently about why God hasn't destroyed America. Because he said there's still a remnant of in America that's giving out the gospel. He said 95% of missionary money comes from the United States of America. You know, what do you see as God's answer to the wickedness? How different is your life? Are you a part of the remnant? Or are you part of everything else? And we find here that sin was destroying the land. Sin was ruining the land. God wanted the people to respond. He was doing everything. He was doing all sorts of things to get them to repent. But yet that root of sin, the hardened heart, was not changing, but it was just revolting more and more. And tonight, if you have that type of a heart within you, you need to recognize that it's only the power of the blood of Christ that can take that hardened heart and change it. You know, there's no outward thing that can change the sinfulness of the heart. It is only the blood of Christ that can do that inward cleansing. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that as we look across our land, Lord, that we would not be a part of the problem. But Lord, that we would be the people that you would want us to be. Lord, that we would stand out, Lord, as you look from heaven, as you behold all the children of men. Lord, it is your mercy that is upon those that fear you. Lord, it is upon those that hope in your mercy. Lord, here in the United States, we don't need more politicians. We need more believers that will stand up and do what is right. Lord, we need young people that have a heart that wants to follow in the ways of God. Lord, that responds to correction. We need people, Lord, that see the rebellious root of sin and what it does. And Lord, we just pray that we would not be deceived into thinking that things are fine, when in reality, they're terrible. And Lord, we pray that we would see things, Lord, the way that you see them. Lord, we wouldn't gloss over them, but we would see the stark reality. And Lord, as you're seeking to work in our lives, Lord, help us to respond with humility, Lord, instead of resistance. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.